This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are here with Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming show where two members of the Checkpoint team get intimate and go one-on-one on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot. This week I am joined by Colby.
Hello, how's it going?
Not too bad, Colby. How are you?
Not too bad at all, thanks.
So we are going to be talking about console sales figures this week because there's actually been quite a bit of boasting happening in the console field where Nintendo and Sony have both come out and said, oh, look how successful we are. We've got these really great sales figures for holiday season of 2017.
Yeah, not only that, but basically monthly from Nintendo and Sony every now and again.
Yeah, Nintendo really is really pushing how many sales the Switch is getting at the moment. And it's awesome to see that they're having a successful year, but it's also really interesting to see why are they giving us these kind of monthly updates as to the success of the Switch.
And will they continue?
Yeah, that's going to be the key point. So let's get into specifics here. And we'll start with Nintendo and their Switch because they did launch their console about 10 months ago. And the most recent information from Nintendo is that the Switch has sold 10 million units worldwide. And it is the fastest selling console in the US ever.
Yeah. And not only that, but they are claiming that they will soon overtake the PlayStation 4 in Japan as far as total units sold.
Yeah, which would be really interesting to see. Like props to them if they can do it, because that would be one like big challenge to overcome. But it kind of seems like they're on their way. So let's break this down a bit. They're describing themselves as the fastest selling console ever in the US, and that is over a 10-month period, because that's how long the Nintendo Switch has been out. They've sold, I believe, 4.8 million Nintendo Switches in that time, just in the US alone, which beats the previous record of, which was held by the Nintendo Wii, which sold around 4 million in the same period of time. So the Switch is actually doing really well for itself.
That's interesting. So does that mean that the Wii U was previously the fastest selling console?
No, the Wii was the fastest selling console, not the Wii U. The Wii U probably didn't break any records.
Did it sell its whole 4 million in 2 months?
But what I find so fascinating about these stats, like the Switch is now the fastest selling console in the US. The Wii was the fastest selling before it. Yet you look at the overall sales figures, and Sony still wins it with the PlayStation. PlayStation 2 particularly sold really well. PlayStation 4 is selling fantastically as well. So clearly, there's this push from Nintendo consumers where they buy a new Nintendo console as it comes out. Yet, as far as longevity is concerned, the PlayStation consoles continue to sell and sell month after month, year after year.
Yeah, and not only that, but the PlayStation 4 has had a fantastic holiday period as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, so the PlayStation 4, we've got the numbers up here. So the holiday period, so starting around October up until, you know, early Jan, the PlayStation 4 managed to sell 5.9 million units worldwide, which is a fantastic figure, especially considering that, you know, it has been out for, 4 years now, and yet it still manages to sell year after year at these really high figures.
And it's essentially selling at the same rate as the Switch is now.
Yeah,
almost.
Which is fascinating, isn't it? 73.6 million units sold in total, which bumps it up to around almost the sales figures of the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360. So it's like a whole generation ahead, so it hasn't had that much time to sell comparatively, yet it's basically at the point that the two previous consoles were at.
And it's interesting that because, you know, Nintendo's been updating us monthly on how great the Switch is going, and Sony's chiming in every now and again, but I wonder why Sony are feeling like they now need to remind everyone that it's also selling really well, considering they've already done 75 million in this generation. They could probably get away with not selling another console for the next 2 years, and they'd still be fine.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's a strange one with Sony. I think I know why Nintendo is so keen on pumping their sales figures, because there is that concern. The Wii U was their previous console. We all know it didn't sell historically very well. And because it didn't sell very well, not only did that mean that consumers didn't pick it up, but third-party developers also didn't pick it up. They didn't want their games on there. It was a waste of time because there wasn't that many people playing it. So for the Switch to say, hey, we're selling really well, That looks good. Like, as a 30-party developer, you start looking at the Switch as a potential for your games coming out. So it kind of makes sense that why they would try to push it so hard.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I wonder if it's going to start getting a little bit old, where it's like, you know, when, you know, we don't need to keep hearing about it.
It is a bit like that. I had a bit of a chuckle to myself, especially when... like, they boast about having the fastest-selling console, and then they have to be specifics, like, in the US and in a 10-month period. Like, you're starting to get very specific. What are the actual records you're breaking here? Who knows? Because, you know, you're choosing very specific wording and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's trying to trigger some form of, like, scarcity, you know, demand, because we know that the Switch in Japan is still reasonably hard to come by, so they still have shortages even now. And their classic consoles are relatively hard to find too. So it's, you know, because in reality, they're not at the point where they're a real challenger to either Sony or Microsoft as far as actual market share goes in the current generation. It's more about just, I guess, reassuring people that people, you know, that people are buying a Switch. So, you know, you're not the only person, maybe.
Yeah. You're not alone. No, but yeah, you really don't think it's like a competitor for the PlayStation or the Xbox?
Well, I think not from a market share point of view. Like, for example, because once things start slowing down for the PlayStation 4, and Sony's probably already got its plans in place for its next generation, so I'd expect a PlayStation 5 in maybe 2 years. And I don't think they're going to do that much damage that... You know, you're going to start seeing a lot of exclusives on the Switch, for example, like PlayStation 4 is still going to be the destination, and then they'll wind down for the PlayStation 5.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that happening. And obviously, Sony is doing historically well. We haven't really talked about Microsoft that much because they're quiet. They're really quiet on their sales figures, and not just because they're not selling as well as other consoles, but because historically, they've always been quite quiet on that front.
Yeah, I think they might have a policy that they just effectively don't publish them for some reason. Like, I mean, they are publicly listed, so they've got to talk about their revenue and those sorts of things, but they've never really been that specific about their actual installed base. You get estimated numbers from analysts and things like that, but, you know, not necessarily like we've done X this year or this is how X is tracking, which I've always thought is reasonably interesting. And I think, you know, before Nintendo really started pushing the Switch's figures, you never really saw Sony and Microsoft go backwards and forwards, like my console sold more than your console, et cetera, et cetera, because they sort of had a nice little, like, you know, half of the pie each is fine. Mm. And now Nintendo's sort of like, well, we're outselling both of you right now.
Yeah, is it a bit of like a schoolyard, I'm better than you? Is that what this is coming down to?
Oh, well, maybe that's what 2018 is going to be about. Yeah. Like, maybe we'll have Microsoft out with their sales figures for the first time in history, probably. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if with the Xbox One X out now, whether we do actually see an update.
Well, you know, let's bring the Xbox into the conversation a bit more, because... As we said, there are, like, third-party analysts who can provide this kind of stats, and just this morning, I remembered seeing a fact where, throughout December, the Xbox One has outsold the PlayStation, which is shocking, because I didn't personally see that coming, but this is coming from NPD, which is the NPD group. It's a big research group based in America. These are American statistics, I should say. Worldwide, Sony is always going to beat Microsoft, just as far as the Japanese market and Eastern market is concerned. But in America, the Xbox is doing really well for itself at this time of the year. And I've got a feeling that's because of not only the Xbox One X, but also because of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yeah, well, I mean, what is it, 100 person death matches, the new black, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean? And there are already 3 million players on the Xbox alone for this game, and it's a game that Sony doesn't have. Like, those are big numbers for an exclusive title.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think the other thing is they've just really well placed with the Xbox One X as well. Because, you know, going forward, there are going to be a lot of great games are multi-platform, and they'll probably look better on that. And, you know, they're in a really nice spot where, you know, you would, if you've got a PlayStation 4, you can buy an Xbox One X.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really interesting because you have Nintendo bragging, you have Sony bragging, and then there's, like, these third parties uncovering data to say, actually, Microsoft are doing really well too. So you have three companies all vying for this console market, all doing really well for themselves. Is this just a sign that gaming is, like, in this upward rise where three companies can all survive and thrive in the same market?
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully, it'd be nice if everyone could do well enough that we can all just be friends.
Yeah, we can all hold hands.
You know, because, you know, because back in the day, it's like, no, I'll put you out of business. Yeah. Sort of a thing.
I think there's always going to be that competitive aspect to it, but it's still, like,
you know,
it's
and the only one at any real risk would be Nintendo, because it's like Sony is fine, Microsoft is a huge company. Mm-hmm. Even if in the future they decided not to do another Xbox, they're still there.
Yeah, Microsoft will still exist. Definitely.
Yeah, exactly. But I could never see Nintendo being a software company, right?
You don't think they could just become a company that develops games for other consoles?
Or, I don't know, I think worst case scenario for them is they just focus on the handheld market.
Yeah, well, that's true. And because of the handheld market, I don't see Nintendo disappearing either. The 3DS sales are just insane.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at, like, a list of the best-selling consoles ever, the PlayStation 2, I think, tops it. But outside of that, it's, like, Nintendo DS, Nintendo 3DS, Nintendo, like, all the Nintendo handhelds, the Game Boy, like, they're all, like, some of the best-selling consoles ever to release, and they're just going to continue to dominate that market.
Well, I don't think anyone has ever been able to dominate the handheld market like Nintendo. Most of them gave up. You know, we had the Game Gear in the 90s. I think Atari had the Lynx. And the, you know, the play, you know, Sony had two attempts at it, the PSP
and PS Vita.
Yeah. And, but now it's sort of like, you know, you may as well just leave Nintendo do it because they have that on lockdown.
Yeah. I feel like other companies can kind of move into that field, but they'll always be a niche product comparatively. As far as like the mass appeal, Nintendo has that market. And so, yeah, I don't know that they'll ever leave development. I think they've kind of tapped into it again with the Switch, and they've found their niche again.
Well, they've sort of bridged the gap. And, you know, and the Switch, you know, down the track, you know, it might be that in the future, rather than continue with the DS family, the Switch is really all they need, and they can just focus on that.
Mm.
As long as you can migrate 3DS owners over to a Switch.
Do you think it's a harder sell? Because the Switch is a much more expensive product than, like, a 3DS.
I don't know. I would imagine at the point in time where they look to move permanently toward the Switch, the prices would probably come down to around about what a 3DS is now.
Mm. Yeah. So all three consoles doing well. I think part of the boasting of sales figures is actually some of that's on the consumer. Because I know a lot of consumers pick up these stories and they're like, yeah, I've got a Switch and they're doing really well. Like, they want to have that kind of satisfaction of the console of their choice is also the console of other people's choices.
I've been there, though, with the Sega Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about before. So, you know, when that came out off the back of an unsuccessful console, mind you, you know, it's like, you know, biggest, you know, game launch, you know, most successful few months in history, biggest day one profit, whatnot for Sega. And 18 months later, the console's effectively dead. So, you know what I mean? So I don't necessarily think it's, I mean, obviously, you need to sell when you release your console. But at the same point, I think emphasizing initial sales figures and success is a very dangerous thing to do.
Oh, it is, because obviously the trajectory has to be there. Like, if you're not on that upward trend, like, constantly, then that's when you're going to crumble. And that is the biggest concern of Nintendo. They had an awesome start of year with some big exclusives. But can they continue to do that year after year after year? I don't know.
Whereas it's interesting, whereas the, you know, Sony's consoles have always tended to do it in reverse. Like, for example, I remember when I first got my PlayStation 2 and my PlayStation 3, you know, and the games were relatively average for about a year, 18 months. And their systems tend to hit their stride a few years in, which I've always listened to, because I think they've got a 10-year sort of plan for all of their consoles. They want them to go a decade, and then they'll move to the next one. So you get like a really nice sort of, you get some decent launch titles, you get a bit of mediocre stuff coming through, and then, you know, once people get used to it, you get the really good games.
Yeah, well, Sony has these like dedicated developers, right, who love using Sony hardware, but obviously when you have this generational advancement, it might take a game or two before you get used to the new technology and before you can make something really, you know, really good using that technology. So it makes sense that it takes, like, there's that slow burn, whereas Nintendo's using their own software, their own hardware rather, and so maybe they're able to pump stuff out for that hardware immediately that's immediately really good. So there is that kind of the big difference between those two companies as far as, you know, early support versus continued support.
But, you know, the positive, though, of Nintendo's initial success is that it does get the attention of the third-party developers. Like, even now, we're starting to see more multi-platform releases. And their success in Japan is going to really help them out as well.
Yeah.
Because you might see a lot more JRPGs coming across. And, you know, a lot of the big developers, like the Namcos, the Capcoms, you know, Konami, etc., etc., you know, and once they get used to the Switch as a platform, we might even see some really decent graphics coming out of it too.
True. Like, that could be the difference right there between, like, the initial success of the Wii versus the kind of drop-off that that console saw. The Switch might just have that initial success and continued success because of third-party development.
Yeah.
Like, that might be the difference right there. And if that's the case, it'd be super interesting to see Nintendo Switch's sale figures like five years down the line. Like, can they compete with Sony? Like, absolutely, potentially.
Yeah, will it be we'll the have next to see 3DS?
Though. Yeah, exactly. It may well be. To wrap it up though, I think it's cool. Like, I think it's awesome that there are these three giant console development companies and all three have found their spot.
Yeah.
And they're all doing really well for themselves. Like, they genuinely are all doing really well, and that's great for a healthy competitive marketplace, because, you know, they're going to be competition for each other for a while to come, and having that healthy competition means, like, the best possible outcomes for the gamer.
Yeah, and, you know, if they manage to find their own places, then you might get, hopefully, a nice different experience on each as well. True. Which I think would be really great.
Yeah, but then you'd have to buy all three just to get those different experiences. I'm not here for that. Anyway, thank you, Colby, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
We've been Checkpoint Intimates, talking all about console sale figures coming out of the holiday period of 2017. Join us next week for more Checkpoint Intimate goodness.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.